हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः। हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभम् व्यास शंकर मध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्य पर्यन्ताम् वंदे गुरु परंपराम् श्रुति स्मृति पुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शंकरं लोकशंकरं शंकरं शंकराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणं सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वंदे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः। ओम ईश्वरो गुरुरात्मेति मूर्ति भेद विभागिने व्योमवद्व्याप्त देहाय दक्षिणामूर्तये नमः। ओम सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ओम शांति शांति शांति। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। क्षेत्र क्षेत्रज्ञ विभाग योगो नाम त्रयोदशोध्यायः। ओम श्री परमात्मने नमः। Let us start from verse number 6.
Mahabhutanyahankaro buddhiravyaktamevacha indriyani dashaikancha panchachendriyagocharaha icchadveshasukham dukham संघातश्चेतनाधृतिः एतत्क्षेत्रं समासेन सविकारमुदाहृतम्।
We saw this last week, 6th and 7th verses. Arjuna wanted to know what is kshetram and what is kshetrajna. What is jnanam? What is jnayam? What is purushah and what is prakritihi? Even though he presented 6 words, I said, Bhagavan makes it 3 pairs. 3 in the sense, 5 together. So purushah and kshetrajnaha mean the same. And prakritihi, jnayam, mean to say. And what is jnanam? Jnanam is all about values. We are going to see that now. And first we saw, last class he said, the kshetram can be reduced to 3 words. Jagat, the entire object universe, mind and body. The entire matter is presented here as 3 factors. Mind, body and the universe form the matter. And a kshetrajna is the knower of the kshetram, is kshetrajna, which is nothing but pure consciousness. Already it is made very clear. The knower is kshetrajna. And the kshetrajna is pure consciousness. And which is one. Which alone is implied by the term atma. What about kshetram? Kshetram, your mind, the objective universe, and the body. And that is elaborated again here in these verses. We saw these verses, 2 verses last class. Mahabhutani. So five subtle elements, the gross elements, ahankaraha, buddhihi, avyaktam, evacha, indriyani dashekancha, pancha chendriya gocharaha. Icha, dveshaha, sukham, dukham, sanghataha, chetanadhritihi. Yetat kshetram samasena, savikaram udahritam. And all this is all nothing but modifications of the only matter subject to change. In fact, there are 24 tattvams. You should remember, there are 24 tattvams, 24 principles. At least Sankhya philosopher, he presents these 24 principles. And we have to take them easily. As matter. What is matter? He divides the whole into 24 principles. So Bhagavan also borrows that idea. Even though we do not accept Sankhya philosophy, but Sankhya philosophy, this division is nice. So we accept. So what are those 24 principles which constitute the matter? We say subtle elements 5, gross elements 5. So unmixed, pure, subtle elements, space, etc., 5 elements. Then grossified elements 5, so totally 10. Then your sense organs 5, organs of actions 5, 20. And apart from that, he says four aspects. Manaha, buddhihi, ahankaraha. He includes. What is manaha? Samashti manaha. The total mind, the seat of emotions. Samashti manaha. Samashti buddhihi, totality of the intellects. Samashti manaha, samashti buddhihi. Then ahankara, samashti ahankara also. What is ahankara? The I sense obtaining in the form of thought. So in terms of the knowledge of existence of one's own self, I am. That is there in every mind. That knowledge is there in every mind. It is ahankara. So all these principles, 24 principles together constitute the kshetram. That's what Krishna also mentions here. Kshetram ityabhidhiyate. And there specifically, what is manaha? He says separately, icha, dveshaha, sukham, dukham, sanghataha, chetanadhritihi, yetat kshetram samasena, savikalpam, savikaram udahritam. This is what is said to be kshetram briefly. We'll be understanding this kshetram again. Now we'll move on to the 8th verse. See, already it is made very clear. Nice to know here. Now as kshetram. Icha, even the phenomenon called desire, which is there, very naturally there in the form of thought in all the minds. There's no human mind where icha is not there. There cannot be a mind without icha. Desire is very natural. Icha, we have to see here, the beauty is icha, desire is matter. Even the desire also, obtaining in the form of a thought, in their own antakkanam, a phenomenon called icha, very subtle, but still it is matter. So icha, dveshaha. What about your hatred? Something called hatred. We talk about a phenomenon called hatred. Hatred also is a subtle phenomenon obtaining in the form of a thought which comes under the category of matter. No kshetram. Icha, dveshaha. Icha, dveshaha. Then sukham. What about your pleasure? Is amazing. Even the pleasure comes under the category of matter. Why? Anything which is experienced is matter. So nice, we have to stop here and think about it. The pleasure which is there in the form of a thought, the pleasure also is a state of mind which comes and goes. What is pleasure? That is also kshetram. Just to make us think, it's not something which you do not know. Already known factors only. Can you ever believe sukham, the pleasure which you're experiencing, is also in our thought, which is a kshetram. It's a known matter. You have to learn to see that even pleasure is matter. Prakritihi. Now, Icha, Dvesha, Sukham, Dukham. What about your pain? Yes, pain, pleasure, hatred, desire, Icha, Dveshaha, Sukham, Dukham. All this is nothing but subtle phenomena obtaining in the form of thought, which constitute the mind. It's all matter only. Comes under the category of the prakriti. That is kshetram. Sanghataha. Sanghataha means the body, mind, sense complex. Sanghataha means a complex. Or anything put together is sanghata. Sanghataha. So chetana. So chetana here means when the manifest consciousness, or you can say intelligence. And dhritihi. What about your dhritihi? The fortitude, the resolve, the firmness. That is also all subtle phenomena are given here as part of the antahkarnam. Yetat kshetram. All this samasena. All this together, or briefly, samasena udahritam, briefly stated, said to be kshetram. Kshetram, the object of knowledge, together with all its modifications. Savikaram means what? With all the modifications, is said to be kshetram. Now we'll move on to the next verse. So 8 verse onwards, he's going to present what is jnanam. There are 22 or 21 values together, actually 20 also we can say. All these values together constitute the jnanam. Jnanam means all the values. Why are they known as jnanam? Because they serve as a means of preparation for the attainment of jnanam. Therefore, they are also known as jnanam. Let us see the verse number 8. This is a fresh new class today. Amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshantirarjavam Acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyamatma vinigraha amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa kshantirarjavam acharyopasanam shaucham sthairyamatma vinigraha. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrutyu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. I'm reading all the verses together to get all the values together. Indriyartheshu vairagyam anahankara evacha janma mrutyu jara vyadhi dukkha doshanu darshanam. Asaktiranabhishvangaha putradara grihadishu asaktiranabhishvangaha putradara grihadishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu nityancha samachittatvam ishtanishtopapattishu mayi cha. Actually, until this verse, until verse number 10. We have all this.
Nityancha samachittattvam ishtanishtopapattishu mayi chananya yogena bhaktiravyabhicharini vivikta sevitvam aratirjana samsadi adhyatma jnana nityatvam tattvajnanartha darshanam yetad jnanamiti proktam ajnanam yadatonyatha.
And so from the 8th verse onwards until this verse number 12, in 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, in 5 verses, Bhagavan presents 22 values. And these 22 values are very important for a spiritual aspirant. Therefore, all these 22 values come under the category of jnanam. Usually the word jnana means knowledge. But these 22 values are specifically presented in 13th chapter as jnanam. So jnanam does not mean knowledge here. All the values come under the category of jnanam. Suppose the question comes, why they are known as jnanam? Then you understand, because they all serve as a preparatory means. They are very important for spiritual wisdom. Therefore, they are also known as jnanam. Let us see this now. What is amanitvam? So, manitvam means pride, arrogance, self-aggrandizement, in Swamiji's words. Manitvam. So, amanitvam means absence of pride. Amanitvam. And then we have adambitvam. Dambitvam means vanity. So absence of vanity is adambitvam. Amanitvam, adambitvam. Then ahimsa. We'll see one by one everything. So amanitvam, we want the simplest word for amanitvam, humility. So absence of arrogance. Absence of arrogance is amanitvam. So absence of self-aggrandizement is amanitvam. Then adambitvam means absence of vanity. Ahimsa. Ahimsa, non-violence, non-injury, non-hurting is ahimsa. Kshantihi. Kshantihi means forbearance, also forgiving nature, forgiveness. Kshantihi. Arjavam. Arjavam means straightforwardness, uprightness, nobility is arjavam. Acharya upasanam. So acharya upasanam. So acharya upasanam is the sixth value here. Acharya upasanam. So acharya, being respectful to the teacher is acharya upasanam. Being respectful to the teacher means having shraddha in shastram. We'll see that anyway. Acharya upasanam, so service to the teacher. Then shaucham. Shaucham is purity, cleanliness, internal and external cleanliness. That is shaucham. Sthairyam. Sthairyam is the eighth value. Sthairyam, firmness. Firmness, sthairyam. Then atma vinigraha. Atma vinigraha means self-mastery, self-restraint. Okay. Now, the nine values are presented in this one verse. One verse is packed with nine values. Amanitvam, adambitvam, ahimsa, shantihi, arjavam, shaucham, acharyopasanam, shaucham, sthairyam, atma vinigraha. So the 9 values really packed in one verse. So what is Amanitvam? So Bhagavan Krishna first says Amanitvam. Manitvam means self-admiration. So blowing one's own trumpet, self-conceit is Manitvam. In fact, Atmani Pujyatva Bhavana. Atmani Pujyatva Bhavana means seeing one's own self as somebody great. Looking at one's own self as somebody honorable, as a great person. This admiring one's own self, having admiration for one's own self is called Manitvam. So, Amanitvam is absence of this Manitvam. It is being free from self-admiration, being free from self-conceit is what? Actually, Amanitvam. If you want to make it very simple, want to say a simple word, Avinayaha. Now the Vinayaha. So Amanitvam means, Amanitvam is Avinayaha, absence of humility. So Vinayaha is humility. Therefore, that is why in Shankaracharya says in that in his first prayer, Avinayam Apanaya Vishnu. One of his Shastri Stotram, he says, Avinayam Apanaya Vishnu. The first prayer is to, O Lord, please remove my Manitvam. Avinayam Apanaya. So humility is the simplest word. Amanitvam means humility. So Vedanta Shastram, for a spiritual aspirant, it is very important to take care of this problem of self-conceit, because a very, very big, obstacle. It's an obstruction. So, we are blessed with certain skills. Bhagavan has really blessed us with a lot of achievements, accomplishments. We using our own physical health, mental health, our intellectual capacity, we do achieve in life. We become qualified, academically qualified, get a good job, earn money, do live a comfortable life. There are achievements. Every human being has a certain degree of achievement and accomplishment. So, and see, whenever anybody accomplishes anything in life, naturally, there will be that one's accomplishments are recognized at home by family members. Outside society also definitely acknowledges a person's accomplishments. Definitely a person's accomplishments become recognized. Then what happens? Once one's achievements become recognized naturally, there is a, without your knowledge, there is a notion comes, you know, that we think others are, when others are also appreciative of your achievements, naturally there is a, gradually without your knowledge, there is a self-admiration comes. Okay? And the self-admiration becomes what? Root cause of the self-conceit. And we never think that any achievement involves so many factors. The people at home, people in society, natural phenomena, above all Bhagavan's grace. So many factors are involved in every small or big any achievement. Therefore, anything achieved means, okay, by Bhagavan's grace we have achieved. It is something, okay. But there is self-admiration. My hard work, my own thing got me achieve this. I made it. My effort made it. Of course, effort is involved. It is not mere effort. There are so many other factors are involved. we do forget that. Then that not forgetting that there's so many factors are involved in every small achievement of mine, even though my efforts are there. That is there, then there will not be the pride of having one's own achievements. So Amanitam, we have a good unfoldment in the book Value of Values. And then I see that next class we have that book so that we can read it from that book also. So that is Manitvam. So absence of Manitvam is Amanitvam. Then Dambitvam is actually showing what one does not have. Even though I do not have something, but I act as though I'm having it. At least Manitvam, a person is proud because of something he has. Even that is wrong, we say. But Amanitvam, the Adambitvam, not having anything accomplished also, still a person shows himself to be an accomplisher. That is Dambitvam. Therefore, the Dambitvam, Adambitvam is the next, Adambitvam is an important virtue. And Dambitvam is the Manitvam expressed in one's word and one's speech and behavior. Manitvam, the pride expressed in, revealed in one's speech and behavior becomes Dambitvam. So Manitvam is a notion that I am somebody. I am somebody. I am great. That the notion a person has is Manitvam. It is a feeling a person entertains in one's own mind. Okay, I am great. I am somebody. I am wonderful. I am accomplished person. Is a notion that a person has in one's own mind. That is called Manitvam. Whereas Dambitvam, Manitvam expressed in one's speech and behavior becomes Dambitvam. Before. So Dambitvam unexpressed is Manitvam. Manitvam expressed is what? Dambitvam. This is purely because of not realizing that in every achievement, everything I have, every small thing I'm enjoying, there are so many factors involved, including Bhagavan, above all Bhagavan's grace. If that is there, then we'll enjoy happily whatever you are blessed with. At the same time, there will not be pride. And that will not make you look down upon others also who do not have what you have. It will not make you feel jealous of others also what others have, what you do not have, others have, that will not make you feel jealous. At the same time, it will not make you feel proud also when you enjoy what you others don't have. Therefore, see, Amanitvam and Adambitvam are two important virtues. We will again see later on. I want to quickly finish this and go ahead. Then Ahimsa. What is Ahimsa? Of course, Ahimsa, all the time from day one, the Shastra class started, we've been talking about Ahimsa, Ahimsa, Ahimsa. So Ahimsa, so non-violence, non-hurting, non-injury is Ahimsa. So it is not simply being a vegetarian does not make a person of Ahimsa. If you're a vegetarian, that's fantastic, very good. That itself is not enough for you to be a person of Ahimsa one. Therefore, not hurting other living beings, not hurting other living beings means all the living beings in this world, they all living beings want this avoidance of hurting. In fact, physically, orally, mentally. We have three karanani, trini karanani, three instruments. Body, mind and speech. So, not hurting physically, orally and also mentally is very important. So, to follow this value of non-hurting, you have to follow all other values. I should not tell a lie in order not to hurt. I should speak only the truth which is non-hurtful. I should not cheat so that I not to hurt. I should not betray in order not to hurt. I should not steal not to hurt. Ultimately, all other values, even truthfulness in speech also, so all the values are important just for the sake of not hurting. That is why ahimsa paramo dharmaha. You follow ahimsa, one value strictly consciously, all other values become followed. So it's always an ahimsa paramo dharmaha. And sanatana dharmaha, this Hindu way of life, the Vedic way of life is completely 100% governed by this value of ahimsa. Therefore, so it is not simply physically not slapping or hitting alone is not himsa. Even using harsh words, making other person feel offended by one's harsh words also, himsa only. Therefore, it's always important, we say, that's why when you, in the temples, when they give the tirtham, we take three times the tirtha prasada. And we say three times, Om Achyutaya Namaha. Om Anantaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha. In all temples you would have seen, when the Tirtham is given, you have to hold like this and take three times. When Achamanam is done three times, you know why? For Trikarana Shuddhi. First time you take to get rid of the dirt, all the papa you have earned by hurting somebody physically or orally, also mentally. Trikarana Shuddhyartham. For cleansing the three instruments, we say always, that's a Trikarna Shuddhyattam, we say Nama Mantra, Bhagavan Nama Mantra, then we take water. The water is supposed to purify, cleanses. If at all unknowingly we have hurt anybody physically, orally, mentally, so we utter the mantra and we take water. It's called Alvai. Why? In the cleansing means what? What sort of cleansing can be done inside? Unknowingly, we might have hurt people, wounded, offended, physically or orally, at least definitely mentally. So to get all the papams cleansed, we say Vamatrayam, we take water, Tirtha Prasada. Anyway, so ahimsa is an important value. So one has to be conscious of not offending, hurting. That is also third value, ahimsa jnanam. Ahimsa kshantihi. So, kshantihi, the word kshanti has to be understood. It has a different connotations. We will see the kshantihi properly here. If I'm able to, kshantihi actually means the mental immunity. What is mental immunity? Just as physical body has immunity, similarly we must have mentally also, we must have that resistance. So not being disturbed by any external situation is the mental resistance, endurance is kshantihi. So it is very natural for us to have expectations. Very natural. But when our expectations do not happen, do not get fulfilled, our desires do not get fulfilled, our wishes do not get fulfilled, it is very natural to get disturbed. So, whenever my wishes do not get fulfilled, or expectations, things do not happen the way I want them to be, naturally I get hurt, I get offended. So, ahimsa slightly more extended becomes what? Shantihi. See, when I get hurt because when my wishes are not fulfilled, when I get hurt, naturally, what do I do? There is reaction on my part. Because lack of resistance. I do not have that mental resistance to accept that what is not desirable. Therefore, what Shastram says is, only by understanding certain things, that why things are not always at your expectations. If you understand, then it will be possible for us to endure them, to accept them. That's why Krishna said in the very opening chapter itself, Titikshasva Bharata, pairs of opposites are inevitable in life. You cannot expect always success. There will be failure also. You cannot expect always victory. There will be defeat also. You cannot expect always honor. There will be dishonor also. You cannot expect always everything desirable. There will be both. Pairs of opposites means there will be heat and cold, success and failure, loss and gain. These pairs of opposites are inevitable for anybody in life. So better learn to endure them. Krishna already said it. The very opening verse he said. So titiksha is another word for kshantihi. And how can I accept them? That is why Bhagavad Gita teaches prasada buddhihi. See, prasada buddhihi must be there. Prasada buddhihi means not simply saying, okay, I accept everything as prasada. It's not simply accepting everything as prasada. The acceptance of everything as prasada with the understanding of the fact that success and failure both are impermanent. Success also will come and go, failure also will come and go. So desirable, undesirable, all situations are impermanent. They come and go. And they're all ordained by definitely natural laws. And we do not have any say over these laws. And the laws determine the situations in keeping with what we have in our punya papam. So if you understand these facts, then that prasada buddhi will be possible. Then we can remain the same without getting agitated by situations. At least we will not react to the situations. So that means we're able to, there is a mental resistance alone is said to be certain degree of mental immunity, that is. So titiksha here means acceptance of all choiceless situations in life. Acceptance of situations without resisting them. So without resisting, accepting all choiceless situations is what? Kshantihi, titiksha. So we do have a free will. It's very important to understand. We do have a free will. We do have the knowledge of right and wrong. We can use our free will. We can use knowledge of right and wrong. We can choose to do the right. We can choose to different from the wrong. But this is only for future. The past has gone. We do not have any say over the past. So what has gone. That cannot be changed. So that past comes under the category of choiceless situations. Choiceless situations means there are situations which are uncontrollable, unpredictable. Sometimes predictable also uncontrollable. So when such unpredictable or uncontrollable, unpredictable situations come, I feel utterly helpless. Then the choiceless situation alone is what? How are we going to accept it? The choiceless situation, I cannot change it. I cannot change means I cannot change any of my past. Because none of us have any control, say, over our own past. So regretting over the past or brooding over the past is not going to change any situation. So past also, anything that has happened in the past is under the choiceless situation. So better I prepare my mind to accept my past exactly whatever as it is. So I can worry about my education. Oh, I have not achieved that in education. The brooding over the past is of no use. My education, my parentage, even, okay, the date of birth, you know, everything, even my changes, physical changes, my white hair or silver hair, wrinkles on the body, or my knee pain, you know, everything. All the past, we do not have any say over the past, because past is over. Now, the past is under choiceless situation. So, I learn to accept the past, unchangeable, choiceless situation. I accept it with what? With definitely kshantihi, with didiksha. Then, what about the present? Present also I cannot change. Past has already gone. The present has already come. What has already arrived also I cannot change. The present situation definitely I cannot change because it's already come. Suppose anything which has not yet come, I can try to change. What has already arrived, I cannot change. Not only I cannot change the past, even I cannot change the present because it has already arrived. So I do not have any choice over the present situation. Therefore, it is better I remain prepared. So better I learn to accept the present situation, which is also choiceless. So acceptance of all the situations around me, even the people around me, the behavior of people around me. So acceptance of everything is titiksha. So acceptance without any resistance. Because the more I resist the helpless situation, the more I get heated up. Again, acceptance also is of two types. There is acceptance with a healthy attitude, acceptance with an unhealthy attitude. What is unhealthy acceptance and what is healthy acceptance? So unhealthy acceptance means, oh, what happens? Sometimes I accept situations helplessly. I accept things, but I have a lot of bitterness about accepting it. I accept sometimes because of the self-pity. Accept with the self-pity. I accept sometimes with frustration. I accept with anger. So accepting unchangeable situation, uncontrollable situation with anger or frustration or bitterness or with self-pity is a very, very unhealthy acceptance. So unhealthy acceptance is not titiksha. Why do you accept? What choice do I have? I have to accept it. Such an acceptance with the bitterness, with the great frustration, is not titiksha, is not kshantihi. But if I'm able to accept any situation, why it is said it is unhealthy? Because any situation, unchangeable, uncontrollable situation, if I accept with the bitterness or in frustration, you know, or accept with self-pity, then what happens? My mind, it's very important. My thinking capacity is not available at all for any constructive, contributive activity. Any uncontrollable situation accepted with self-pity or bitterness, with frustration, then the thinking capacity is not at all, will not be available for any positive, constructive, contributive work. Therefore, the mind which accepts the situation with frustration will continuously dwell upon the same situation all the time, complaining, grumbling, why it has happened to me, why it has happened to me, why it shouldn't have happened for me. There'll be constant grumbling, continuous grumbling. Therefore, not only this person who accepts the unchangeable situation with the frustration, not only the person will be continuously complaining and will be in grief, he will make others, people around also will be very sad. Therefore, unhealthy, simply accepting with bitterness or self-pity is a very unhealthy acceptance. Because there, all my capacities, all my resources, all my thinking capacity, etc., will not be available for any contributive, constructive work. Then I become a constantly, continuously complaining, a fault finding person, I'll be immobilized. Therefore, acceptance is acceptance that Shastram talks about. When Shastram talks about titiksha kshantihi, Shastram talks about healthy attitude, meaning healthy acceptance. That means I do face the choiceless situations, but definitely I do not let them overpower my thinking capacity. And I do not let them allow them to overpower me. So not allowing the choiceless situations to overpower me, myself, means I do not let them stagnate my resources. I do not let them clog my resources. I do not let these unchangeable situations to make me dull or stagnate. Which means I try to ignore the situation. Thereby, I see that all my resources I am blessed with are available for work, for working. So, my resources should be continued to available for me to work, do something, to be involved in contributive, constructive work. Therefore, it may sound, it is very difficult to do it, very difficult. It is difficult, but still it is possible. It is not that easy to ignore until to allow oneself to make one's resources to be available for consecutive work. It is difficult, but still it is possible. It is possible to ignore, to overcome the unfavorable, undesirable, unpleasant, unchangeable situations and still go ahead with one's life. Still one can accomplish things in life. Therefore, what is it? Because I do not have any say over my past or the present, but still Shastram says, still we have say over our future. Our future is still in our hands. The only controllable situation we have is in our hand is future. How the future is in our hands? That is why Shastram says that you are blessed with the willpower, you are blessed with the knowledge of right and wrong. Somebody asked me even this afternoon, how is it possible for you to use your willpower? How to use your willpower and then how can it change your future? Yes, we cannot change the past, which is gone. We cannot change the present, which has already come. But still we have choice over the future. That is why you can use your willpower. We can use your knowledge of right and wrong. Still we can change it. In fact, Bhagavad Gita 6th verse, we all have to remember. There's a nice 6th verse in Bhagavad Gita. Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hyatmano bandhu atmaiva ripuratmanah. Do you remember this verse? Uddharedatmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hyatmano bandhu atmaiva ripuratmanah. See, Bhagavan says definitely the sixth chapter verse, I'm using it here just to say how you have only control over your future. For which you have to use your, if you use your buddhi, then you see, use your knowledge of right and wrong, if you use your willpower, if you choose to do the right action, choose to avoid the, refrain from the wrong action, then you are making the best use of your willpower and then knowledge of right and wrong. Then you have your own buddhi, you are a friend to yourself. Otherwise, you will be your own enemy. Who is an enemy to oneself? Who is a friend to oneself? You are a friend, your own friend, you will be your own enemy. If you do not make the best use of your willpower, you will be your own enemy. That we have to remember. Therefore, definitely it is very important for any spiritual aspirant. That is why Purushartha is important. Once you are 100% sure, this is what I am really wanting in my life. And that is, Rastan said, is all that is this, you have to discover yourself. And for which you must be very calm in your mind. Already you are perturbed by what has happened, which is mithya. What has already come in the, at present. You are always disturbed by the past and the present. And there's no time for you really to keep yourself calm and to discover what the absolute. Therefore, a spiritual aspirant, it is very important for any spiritual aspirant to make the best use of one's willpower and knowledge of right and wrong, at least to change the future situations. Therefore, one has to definitely develop one's patience in the present. So, titiksha. If I cannot have titiksha with regard to the present, if I do not have any patience with regard to my future, titiksha here is kshama, just acceptance, the capacity to wait and if you do not have this strength to wait and this the capacity to wait, then I cannot help going through stress and strain in the personality. Okay, so if you have to avoid the stress and strain, how? Only when you are not able to accept the situation, you get frustrated, then that's how the unhealthy acceptance, okay, unhealthy acceptance in due course of time build up stress and strain. That is when a person always becomes irritable also. Irritability is an expression of stress and strain a person builds up in course of time, all the time feeling frustrated because accepting everything because of the unhealthy attitude, unhealthy acceptance makes a person develop the stress and strain in you, builds up gradually, and the person becomes completely irritable person. That irritability itself is because of the stress and strain which has been built up for a long time, all the time having this unhealthy attitude. That is why Shastram tells, for a spiritual aspirant, there must be proper attitude of what is Ishwara Prasadaha, what is Bhagavan. Once we understand Bhagavan is the name of law and order, and with the understanding of Bhagavan being the law and order, who determines the results of actions, then gradually, if I learn to accept my situations, and then at the same time, I'm conscious of my future. So I live my life consciously, which means all my resources will not get clogged, stagnant, will be available for my contributive, constructive, progressive work. Therefore, kshanti is important. And the next is kshantir arjavam. Next is arjavam. What is arjavam? Arjavam means rujuta. Rujuta means nobility, straightforwardness, uprightness. They're the words we use, which means one's body, mind, and sense organs. All of them must be in alignment. My thought, my deed, and my word must be in alignment. It's called yuktata, integrity or integration. So Shastram really recommends, very strictly, strongly recommends, a spiritual aspirant must try to have this alignment of thought, word, and deed. They must be identical. Because, so what I do physically, what I say orally, and what I think in my mind must be the same, must be in alignment. That is what is said to be nobility. So, manasi, what is there in the mind? What is there on my tongue, my speech? What is there in my action? Must be the same. Only then a person can be called Mahatma. Otherwise, what is there in the mind is something different. What is uttered, said is something different. What is done is something completely different. Means then the person is said to be a wicked person. Not only that, Swamiji used to say, a split personality. This is a split in the personality. Because emotional personality is not integrated with the other personality. There's a split in the personality because there's no alignment. So whenever there's a split in the personality, there's a strain in the personality. So Swamiji used to say, in any orchestra, all the people who play different instruments, they all must be adjusting to the tune, the shruti. There must be aligning. Otherwise, the orchestra will not be good. Similarly here also, our own physical system, all our organs must be functioning together. There must be alignment. One is then you are a healthy person. If there's no alignment, there's sickness. Similarly here also, it's very important for a person to take care of one's integrity. In fact, Swamiji used to say, why Ravana had 10 heads? Puja Swamiji's words. Ravana had 10 heads because he was a person of multiple personality. It was a multiple personality syndrome. So 10 heads stand for 10 different multiple the personality. Therefore, that is Arjavam. Then Acharyopasanam. Acharyopasanam is very important, of course. Every value is very important here. Every virtue is very important. So Acharyopasanam is an important for any Vedantic student, a spiritual aspirant. Because worshipping, upasanam means worshipping. Worshipping the teacher or having reverence for one's teacher is acharya upasanam. It is very important to remember here, there's a big difference between the cult and the tradition. In tradition, we should remember that we respect the teacher, we worship the teacher. Worshipping the teacher, what it means is, definitely worship is not the worship of the person. The worship does not go to the person, the teacher. Because the guru also, as an individual human being, is as limited as any other human being. The guru, the one who plays the role of a guru also, as an individual human being, is as limited as any other individual human being. Nothing great. But still, why do we bow to the teacher? Because the teacher symbolizes the Shastra Jnanam. The teacher stands for the Shastra Jnanam. Therefore, whenever I bow to my teacher, the bowing, the salutation offered to my teacher is actually salutation offered to the Shastram, which he represents. Please make a note. Now doing namaskaram, many people have the problem. Oh, why should I go and bow to the person? We don't bow to the person. Whenever we bow to the person, we bow to the Shastram in the person. Even person doesn't have much shastram. See, whatever little shastram the person teaches, we bow to the shastram in the person. Because acharyaha is the one in whose form the shastram surveys. So all our scriptures, especially, see, Veda shastram, the teacher symbolizes the scripture. Scripture stands for Bhagavan. What does scripture stand for then? Scripture stands for Bhagavan. Therefore, when I bow to my teacher, I bow to the Shastram in the teacher, and through the Shastram, I bow to the very Bhagavan himself. Who is Bhagavan? The revealer of the Shastram. The one from whom Shastram has come, he is my teacher. Therefore, my namaskara to the teacher is actually my namaskara to the Shastram. Namaskara to the Shastram is actually namaskara to the Bhagavan who gave this timeless wisdom to the tradition. And here, So my respect, my bowing to, my offering my namaskara to the teachers, namaskara to the shastram means, the next question comes. What is that? How is it possible for me to bow to the shastram? How is it possible for me to worship the shastram? And second thing is, why should I bow to the Veda Shastram? Why should I worship the Shastram? This is very important for us to know, because the knowledge, any amount of knowledge I acquire or I want to have, any amount of knowledge I want to know, I want to have, through the Shastram, from the Shastram, is knowledge that can be acquired only through the Shastram. Please make it a point. Very important to know. Why do I bow to the Shastram? Because whatever knowledge I gain, I acquire through the Shastram, is the knowledge which can be gained only through the Shastram. So it is not something which can be gained through any other different source of knowledge. So Pooja Swami used to say this, Shastram is like another eye, other sense organ. We have 5 sense organs, and Shastram is like the next sense organ. Apart from what you have got, your eyes, your ears, the nose, your tongue, your skin, your 5 sense organs. Shastram is the 6th. Shastram is like the 6th sense organ. So all other 5 sense organs help you to know things other than what you are. But the Shastram is the 6th organ, like a 6th organ, which helps you to know what you are. So every sense organ, if you take your own sense organ, take your eyes for example. Eyes are capable of giving you a unique knowledge which other sense organs cannot give. Your ear, even your ears can give you only a specific knowledge which other sense organs cannot give. So the knowledge of the color can be given only by the eyes. So other sense organs cannot give you the knowledge of light and colors. And not only that, the what you can know through eyes cannot be contradicted, negated by other sense organs also. Your ears cannot come and negate your knowledge of the color which you gain through your eyes. Similarly, your eyes cannot negate the knowledge of what you have known through, attained through the, through hearing. So what is proved by one sense organ cannot be negated by another sense organ. But every sense organ is unique. It is capable of giving you the knowledge of a specific object. At the same time, it cannot be, what is proved by any given sense organ cannot be negated, contradicted by other sense organ also. That is the greatness of the pramana. Similarly, okay, now you have Shraddha, faith in your eyes. That is why what you see through physical eyes, and that cannot be contradicted by any other sense organ. Which means you have Shraddha in what you, your own eyes. Similarly, we see that what Shastram reveals. So I have to accept what Veda Shastram reveals as a new knowledge. So this capacity to accept that Veda reveals something which cannot be revealed by anything else, which cannot be contradicted by any other pramanam, is said to be Shraddha. This capacity to accept the fact that Veda reveals something unique which cannot be revealed by any other Shastram, any other Pramanam, any other means of knowledge, and which cannot be negated also, contradicted also. This understanding is what we say acceptance. Acceptance is Shraddha. Therefore, Shraddha is very important, very, very important for us to have Shraddha in the Veda Shastram. And how can I develop Shraddha? Only by worshipping. That is why worshipping Bhagavan, praying to Bhagavan will help us develop Shraddha in the Shastram. Then once the Shraddha in the Shastram, then I follow the Shastram, then definitely Shastram will work as a Pramanam. Then definitely there will be knowledge. And that knowledge will be, I can understand that knowledge. That knowledge, what I gain through the Shastram, cannot be contradicted by any other Pramanam. That is why it is said Veda Shastram is like another sense organ. Completely it gives you a different knowledge. So in tradition, how can we have Shraddha? That is why from the childhood onwards, in order to cultivate Shraddha in Shastram, from childhood onwards, they upanayanam. Then they make you do Gayatri Japa, initiate with the Gayatri Mantra Japa. It's all done. Because from the childhood onwards, gradually one must develop Shraddha in the Shastra. This is what it is said. Even if you didn't have any opportunity to have to develop Shraddha in Shastra, at least by Bhagavan's grace, Punyam, even many Westerners have Shraddha because of their Samskara. Because Samskara, they have Shraddha in Shastra. Even they benefit when they are given to the study of the Shastram. Because no intelligent mind can ever deny the Shastram as a Pramana. And second thing, even though Shastram is not scientific, it doesn't contradict science. And what Shastram reveals cannot be proved by any other pramanam, any other scientific method also. This Shraddha, then, after Acharya Upasanam, actually implies Shraddha in Shastram, Shraddha in Bhagavan, Shraddha in knowledge, Shraddha in respect, reverence for the teacher. Then Shaucham. Shaucham is cleanliness. Shaucham, purity, and his cleanliness is again has different levels of cleanliness. First, Bahya Saucham. Bahya Saucham, external cleanliness, purity at the level of the surroundings, atmosphere, environment. So it starts with the street where I live, the house where I live. So everything must be clean. Then it comes to the dress I wear, my own physical body, etc. We say Bahya Shaucham. Then Antara Shaucham. Antara Shaucham, the inner cleanliness. Antara Shaucham, Bahya Shaucham. So, inner cleanliness, inner purity is at the oral level. The words should be healthy words. The words I use must be healthy expressions. And we will see, actually, how what set of words will express my antara shaucham, inner purity. That we'll see later on, next, in the following chapters, we'll understand. So cleanliness at the mental level, thinking level, thought level is important. Cleanliness at the oral level, like cleanliness at the physical level also. So all the virtues that have been discussed, when strictly consciously followed, naturally that will make my mind healthy. So the Shastra says, that's why Amanitvam, Adambitvam, Ahimsa, Kshantihi, Acharyopasanam, all these are virtues, highly valuable virtues. That's why they themselves are values. When they are followed strictly, they contribute for my mental hygiene. So otherwise, what happens? If I have manitvam in the place of amanitvam, if I have dambitvam in the place of adambitvam, if I have himsa, then there's no acharya upasam naturally. I do not say anything what will happen. There's no shaucham. So gradually, with Shraddha, worshipfully, prayerfully, one must make all possible efforts to cultivate all these virtues gradually. Then it will contribute for antara shaucham. Other than cultivating these values, virtues, there's no other way of having antara shaucham. Then sthairyam comes. It may sound very, it's all very simple, very nice. We hear simply, but really we must make efforts to see that. Because Shraddha, everything boils to Shraddha in Shastra.
Swaminiji, I have a question.
Yes.
You said that we have the power of changing the future by our willpower. Is that true? How is it possible? Yeah.
Shastram does say, see, the helpless situations, when you say, talk about helpless situations, now if you analyze, we cannot change any of the past. That is where Shastram tells, okay, learn to accept them. Understand. And then there must be healthy acceptance. So also the present also cannot be changed because it's already come. What has gone, what has come can be changed. But future is still in your hands, means future, if you use your willpower, you make sure the right knowledge of your right and wrong, then at least you are not consciously accumulating any papa. You will not accumulate any papam consciously. Okay? So you will be in future, if you do all your duties at present consciously in conformity with dharma and using your willpower and using knowledge of right and wrong, definitely you are accumulating only punyam. There's no papam accumulated. That is how you change your future. At least there will not be unpleasant situations, will not be there in the future because of this changing at present. And even if the past Sanchita Karma itself will come back with a bad future also may come. Still, by then, once you consciously follow Dharma, naturally it will contribute for your mental preparation required for Jnanam. By then, your Shraddha in Shastram will help you attain jnanam also. Once you have your perspective changes, then that's all. No problem will be there. the whole situation will change once your perspective changes. So following seriously, strictly dharma now, okay, using our willpower, using knowledge of right and wrong, strictly following dharma, seeking Bhagavan's grace to be able to follow dharma, in due course of time, will bless you with a different perspective, that the perspective you are going to have is such that you will not be, you will be free.
Okay.
The perspective will change. It is, of course, takes a very long time. I'm not saying it doesn't happen overnight. Okay? That is Shraddha. That is why it is said, even to use your willpower and to do the right, to avoid the wrong also, you want to do the right, don't want to do the wrong thing, you make the best use of your willpower and then knowledge of right and wrong. That is why you always seek Bhagavan's grace also intensely. Intensely you have to seek, that is, it was said, the prayer and worship is so important to be able to use your will. You know that? To be able to use your will, you need Bhagavan's grace. To be able to use your knowledge of right and wrong, you need Bhagavan's grace. Bhagavan has blessed you with the willpower, has blessed you with the knowledge of right and wrong. You also want to use it. Sometimes it is very difficult. I'm not making use of it. So I need Bhagavan. That's why prayer and worship must be that I want to make the best use of my willpower and knowledge of right and wrong so that I try to do only right, I refrain from the wrong. So in few, that will contribute, at least you will not accumulating knowingly papa karma, doing anything papa. And the more you live a life of dharma also, mind becomes subtle. The subtle you become mentally. Now following dharma is not simply, you're not asked simply to follow dharma for the sake of others. You're asked to follow dharma. Following dharma will make a gross-minded person, a subtle-minded person. Very subtle. Even a person who is not academically accomplished person is a very intelligent and very sharp sometimes because of the commitment to dharma. Consciously living a life of dharma will contribute for intellectual sharpness. Subtle, mind becomes subtle. And that subtleness also will help you. And you also tapping abundance of Bhagavan's grace. The more you're conscious of dharma, the more sadhu life you are living. So grace is earned. Intellectual sharpness also is, subtleness also is taken care of. And you'll be emotionally also stable. You will not be disturbed. So emotionally being stable is a great blessing. So you're making use of your willpower and doing the right thing at present, how it will gradually contribute for emotional stability and intellectual sharpness and Bhagavan's grace means. And in keeping with the intellectual sharpness, understanding also will be different. So that understanding will be such you will not be disturbed by the situations. It will change. It's a very, something, I need to make it much more expressive. I'll do it next class, anyway. It will do. At least you are not accumulating papa. It's clear because, what is that which prevents me from just taking ownership of, just accept, assimilating it. Why? Why is it not possible for me to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge at present? It's all lack of preparedness. The understanding takes place very easily. If I have to enjoy the benefit of the knowledge, I must be prepared. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.